every eye closed. Gracious and eternal God, our Father, we do, Lord, come realizing that without you we can do nothing. Without you, Lord, we would fail. Without you, we would be drifting like a ship on the sea without a sail. So, God, I come stretching my hand to thee. No other help I know. Lord, if thou withdraw thyself from me, whither shall I go? God, now bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Bless now this waiting congregation. Bless, Lord, your word and the preaching thereof. We ask, God, that you would touch it, that it might go out as Isaiah said, and not return again void. Somebody needs to hear from you. Somebody needs to be touched by you. Somebody needs to be strengthened. And if we're going to be strengthened, if we're going to be touched, if we're going to be helped, Lord, we need you to do it. Lord, we do thank you for the moments that remain. Bless us. In the name of Jesus, I do ask and pray. Amen. 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 We certainly thank God for his presence and his spirit in this place. Thank you, Deacon McCollum. Thank you, choir, spiritual choir and men's choir, who have blessed us in a marvelous way in song. We certainly give honor to God and to all of my cleric colleagues. I'm not sure who the preacher is, but if you want to join us on the pulpit, you certainly can. You know, you can come on up. Amen. As always, amen. Now, I will say, if you're going to be up here, you need to bring a few amens with you. Amen. Amen. We're certainly glad to have all of you here. Amen. The Wilkins family. Okay. Reverend Wilkins. Amen. Amen. I guess I should have guessed. But we're certainly glad to have all of you. I don't want to hold you long. I'm going to solicit your prayers. In the last 48 hours, I've gone from spring to snow back to spring. And my sinuses are talking to me. But from that passage of scripture read earlier, for your perusal, the third chapter of the book of Hebrews, verse 7 through 19. And I usually don't read that many verses, but at least if I don't say much, you can't say you didn't hear the word. Amen. According to the King James Version, you will find these words, Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 7 through 19. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom he was grieved 40 years. Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. The word of God for the people of God. For just a few moments, I want to share with you from a topic that the Lord dropped in my spirit a few weeks ago. When God talks and people don't listen. When God talks and people don't listen. Thank you, ushers. This particular book, this particular letter, and some say this particular sermon was delivered to Christians on the edge, Christian at the end of their life's rope, Christians who were on the verge of throwing up their hands, Christians who were weary, Christians who were wounded, Christians who were worn, and Christians who were sad. These were Christians who were about ready to throw in the towel, give up the faith, and go back to business as usual, depending on the law of Moses. They were ready to turn their backs on Christianity, reject the faith, leave the church, and start offering sacrifices once again under the old law. So this writer, some say it was Paul, others say it was Barnabas, or Apollos, or Silas, or Priscilla, or Aquila, or even perhaps Clement of Rome. But whatever the case, the writer makes an appeal, not based on the law, but based on the Lord. Not resting upon Moses, but standing upon Jesus. Not looking back at what was in another era or under another leader, but looking forward at a new day and a new time unto a new leader named Jesus, who he writes was the author and finisher of our faith. This Jesus was the one who started it all in a place called Judea. He started it using a ragtag band of wishy-washy disciples. He organized it 2,000 years ago on the heels of a 3-year ministry which carried him from Bethlehem's cradle to Calvary's cross. He instituted a faith that no religious leader of his day thought would survive, but it took hold, caught on, and it grew into the largest religion in the world. And that's because Jesus built it upon a rock, upon a firm foundation, upon a strong tower, and upon a mighty fortress. The theologian Martin Luther knew this and picked up his pen and wrote, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right one on our side, the one of God's own choosing." Tell your neighbor, God's trying to tell you something. What was their spiritual condition? Most were believers, though as in all every church group, there were some who merely professed Christianity. In other words, they talked the talk, but they did not walk the walk. The author calls this letter a letter of exhortation, necessitated by the fact that some were in danger of abandoning their faith in Christ Jesus and reverting back to Judaism. Y'all praying with me? So in the first chapter, the writer highlights the creative power of God as seen throughout all creation. In chapter 2, the writer highlights the saving power of God as seen in the gifts and graces shown to men and women through Jesus Christ our Lord. But in chapter 3, he shifts the focus from heaven to earth, from God to humankind, from what God did, what God does, and what God continues to do, to what believers should be doing. He turns from the faithfulness of God to the unfaithfulness of men, from the dependable nature of the Lord to the unreliable character of men and women, and from the trustworthiness of God to the uncertain character traits of people. So to get his message across, he makes his appeal to an Old Testament passage that was so important that Moses wrote about it in Exodus, the 17th chapter, and then in Numbers, the 20th chapter, and again in Deuteronomy, the 33rd chapter. It was so important that the psalmist David also wrote about it in the 95th division of the Psalms. And now the writer of Hebrews picks up where they left off. This is an important message, first, because it lets us know that God had, has, and always will have something to say. And secondly, when we hear God talking, we need to listen. There are a lot of things, my sisters and brothers, that we all may not be able to do, but all of us can listen. We may not be able to preach like Peter or pray like Paul, but all of us can listen. We may not be able to sing like the angels or play the harp like David, but all of us can listen. I may not be able to do what you do, and you may not be able to do what I do, but all of us can listen. Tell your neighbor, God's trying to tell you something. The truth is, no one really knows when God first started talking, first started a conversation, a dialogue, exchanging words, or communicating ideas, but I believe somewhere way down over into eternity, God Almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful, and who is everywhere at the same time, started talking. Perhaps first among the heavenly beings, with the angels, with the elders, with the Son, or with the Holy Ghost. But ultimately, God struck up a conversation with humankind. Do I have a witness in here? Yes, yeah, sisters and brothers, it is important, it is imperative, and it is crucial that when God talks, we need to listen. Perhaps you're wondering why. Well, it's in the text. Because, sisters and brothers, there are some harsh consequences, some difficult repercussions, some negative fallout, and some deadly drawbacks when we don't listen. Y'all praying with me? Brothers and sisters, God did everything you could imagine and more to get them to listen. After God had shown them his power, sending plague after plague after plague to get King Pharaoh's attention, they still didn't listen. After God led them out of bondage with a mighty hand, gave them favor with their oppressors to the point they left Egypt with more than they had, they still did not listen after God had led them across the Red Sea on dry ground, but Pharaoh's army got drowned. They still didn't listen. After God had given them water when they were thirsty, bread when they were hungry, quail when they were complained, they still did not listen. After God appeared to them in a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, you guessed it, they still. God did all of that, and they did not listen. As a result, for 40 years, they wandered from nowhere to nowhere, from no place to no place, from wilderness to wilderness, and from desert watering hole to the next. Sisters and brothers, that's what happened when God talks and we don't listen. We end up wandering around, going nowhere, ending up no place, and never experiencing God's rest. When God talks and we don't listen, our motto becomes, there's no rest for the weary. Some people think that it's more important to talk. But the writer lets us know that when God is talking, it's more important to listen. Some people go out of their way to be heard, but when God is talking, you sure enough want to hear what he has to say. There used to be a commercial that went, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. But due to mergers, downsizing, sellouts, and bailouts, E.F. Hutton stopped talking, but God still has something to say. In the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart, as in the day of provocation, the day of rebellion, or the day of disobedience. My sisters and brothers, this is a warning, this is a notice, and this is a caution, but it's also an opportunity. It's an opportunity to respond in obedience to the call of God on our lives. Yes, he's called me like he's called you. And he's called you like he's called me. He's called us all out of darkness to walk in his marvelous light. He called us, and not only did he call us, he calls us not just to be a believing people, but also to be a behaving people. He has called us into a relationship with him, and our relationship with him ought to be reflected in our relationship with one another. Oh, y'all quiet in here. He's calling you and he's calling me to be lights in the midst of darkness. He's calling us to be a bearer of the truth in the midst of a world filled with lies. He's calling us to be real, to keep it real, and to make his word a living reality in the midst of fake Christians, hateful and hurtful ain'ts, not saints, loveless leaders, fickle followers, and enemies in the camp. I believe the hymn writer would say right there, hush, God's trying to tell you something. The writer introduces us. Y'all gonna let me preach. Y'all gonna let me preach. I ain't gonna be too long. I ain't gonna be too long. The writer introduces us to a concept of provoking God, making God angry, or making God upset with us. Have you ever been talking to someone, perhaps a spouse, a child, a friend, or a significant other, and while you were talking, you could tell they really wasn't listening to you? How did that make you feel? Brothers and sisters, they did not listen. And they provoked God. And because of that, they missed out. They were cut out. They died out. And they stayed out in the wilderness because they did not listen. A 2-month trip lasted 40 years. This is no new phenomenon. Because the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is filled with examples of God talking and people not listening. And it started with the first two people to take up residence in the Garden of Eden. God talked and they did not listen. When God talks and we don't listen, we get in trouble with the divine. When God talks and we don't listen, what we could have had, should have been, or could have had, we never get. When God talks and we don't listen, we end up spinning our wheels, wasting our time, and end up going nowhere. When God talks and we don't listen. Do I have a witness here? None of creation, since time immemorial, has ever exhibited a propensity, a proclivity, an affinity, an aversion for not listening to God like men and women. Do I have a witness in here? The whole earth obeys God. The mountain rise up at his command. The sun and moon keep their courses. The stars march to God's voice. Worlds without end obey God. Honor God. Worship God. Praise God. And celebrate God. When he speaks, mountains bow their heads. Mighty oaks give a wave offering. When God speaks, seasons change. Spring follows winter. Summer follows spring. And fall follows summer. When God speaks, animals hear his voice. That's why salmon swim upstream. Bears go into hibernation. Ducks fly south. Angels bow down. Beasts lie down. The 24 elders praise his name. Cry, holy, holy, holy. Yeah. But God was talking, and his children were not listening. They did not listen. The writer says because their hearts were hardened. The cardia, or the heart, occupies the most important place in the human body. And it stands for and controls man's entire moral, mental, and emotional activity. The heart is used figuratively to describe the hidden springs of our personal life. What's in our heart will come out. That's why Jesus said, for out of the abundance of the heart, man speaks. Do I have a witness here? So if we are going to hear and listen to God, it has to be in our heart. Why do we sometimes not listen when God is talking? Sisters and brothers, because it's not in our heart. Don't get me wrong. There's a person in here that at some point in our lives we've heard God talking, but we chose not to listen. Do I have a witness here? Sisters and brothers, all of us have had those times in our life where we failed to listen to God when he spoke to us. You remember when, don't you? I sure do. You heard God said, that's not the one for you. But you couldn't wait. And you dated or married them anyway. And you've been paying for it ever since. God said, wait. But you had to have it right then. And now you're struggling with the note or the mortgage. God said, it's not your time. That's not your position. But you could not wait. And that's why you've been sneaking around trying to undermine the person who got the position that God gave to him. God said, don't do it. But you did not listen. And 9 months later, you ended up with a bundle of joy that you was ill prepared to raise. God said, wait on me and I'll fight your battles. But you had to give your boss a piece in your mind. And that's why you don't have a job. When God talks and we don't listen, we end up living with regrets. Do I have a witness here? The bad news, sisters and brothers, is when God talks and we don't listen, like any loving, caring parent, God might get angry. It's one thing when God talks to people in the world, outside of the church, and they don't listen. It's another thing when people in the church don't listen. I've been here 3.5 years, and some folk ain't been listening to me since I've been here. Sisters and brothers, but I'm learning something, because God is teaching me that all I can do is say what thus saith the Lord, but I can't make you listen. It has to be in your heart to do right. In your heart to walk right. In your heart to talk right. And in your heart to behave right. Ain't the Lord all right? What are some of the things that cause people not to listen to God or when He talks? Well, hardships, tough times, difficult days, troubles, trials, and tribulation can stop people from listening to the Lord, because when they ought to be focusing on God, they focus on the problem instead. When they ought to be looking to the Lord, they look at what's going on around them instead. When they ought to be walking by faith, they allow themselves to be overcome by doubt. When they ought to be waiting on the Lord, they wait on the mailman or the mailwoman. When they ought to be looking to the hills from which cometh their help, they look to Raleigh or to D.C. As a result, lives have been jacked up. Relationships have been broken up. Families have been caught up. Communities have been torn up. And churches have been messed up. Do I have a witness here? Sometimes when we do not listen, God punishes us down here. But sisters and brothers, that's good news. Because the writer of Hebrews writes, God corrects, God chastens, and God disciplines everyone He loves as dear children. Ain't God all right? You may be wondering, preacher, if God has been talking to me and I have not listened, is there any good news? Yes, there is some good news. Because I heard God say, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. If God has been talking and you have not been listening, is there any good news? Yes, there is. Because I heard the hear writer say, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege it is again. Everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace
We often fall thin. Oh, the needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not care. Everything ain't it all right? Hey, I'm trying to close. Preacher, is there a way you can tell when you've been listening to the Lord? Yes, there is. People who listen to the Lord have love in the heart for everybody. People who listen to the Lord have joy way down in their soul. People who listen to the Lord don't panic when they can't see their way. People who listen to the Lord trust God when resources are low, friends are few, and haters are many. People who listen to the Lord look up when they're down and hold on when they're tossed to and fro. People who listen to the Lord still believe when the odds are stacked against them. And people who listen to the Lord don't fight their own battles. They don't wage their own wars. They just stand still and see the salvation of our God. Ain't he all right? Say it. Yeah. Sisters and brothers, God is still talking. And when God talks, things happen. When God talks, things begin to move. When God talks, the impossible becomes possible. When God talks, nothing becomes something. When God talks, darkness gives way to light. When God talks, it does not matter where you are, how you are, or what's going on. Things begin to happen. When God talks, things begin to move. When God talks, things that were not come into existence. When God talks, hope, peace, and joy comes into the situation. When God talks, burdens are lighter, days are brighter, and even in the midst of a storm, you can say, I've got a feeling everything gonna be all right. Well, I've held you too long. There's a story. There was a carpenter who just finished a pretty rough day on the job. A flat tire made him lose an hour of work. His electric saw quit working. And now his old pickup truck refused to start. While his foreman drove him home, he sat in the passenger seat, angry and upset, and rode all the way home without saying a word. When he got home, he invited the boss to come meet his family. As they walked toward the house, the carpenter paused briefly at a large pine tree, touching the tips of the branches with both hands. When he opened the front door, he underwent an amazing transformation. His dirty face glowed with a smile, and he hugged his two small children. Then he gave his wife a hug and a kiss. After a while, he walked his boss back to his car, and they passed the pine tree. His boss was curious and asked the carpenter about the tree ritual he had seen him do earlier. The carpenter said, "Oh, that's my trouble tree. I know I can't help having troubles and frustration on the job. But one thing is for sure. I never bring my troubles and frustrations home at the end of the day. So I stopped by the pine tree over there. And I visualized hanging up my troubles and frustrations and worries and whatever I've had to deal with during the day." He smiled as he said, "You know, a funny thing happens when I come out in the morning to pick them up again. There never seems to be nearly as much trouble as I remember the night before." Sisters and brothers, that's what I want to leave you with. God is still talking. And I hear him saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." God is still talking. And I hear him saying, "Cast your cares upon me, because I care for you." God is still talking. And I hear him saying, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." God is still talking, and I can hear him saying, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." God is still talking, and I can hear him saying, "My ways are not your ways, neither are your ways my ways." God is still talking. And I can hear him saying, "He has shown you, oh man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." The Lord is still talking. And I heard him saying, I heard the voice of Jesus saying, "Come unto me and rest. Lie down, thy weary one, lie down. Thy head upon my breast." I came to Jesus and I was weary, worn, and sad. But I found in him a resting place, and he will. What are you doing? He will give you rest. God is still talking, and I heard him say, "I'll keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me." God is still talking, and I hear him saying, "I'm big enough to inspire you, to lift you up, to encourage you, to comfort you." Ain't the Lord all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Anybody in here know him? He's able. In the able. He's a rock in a weary land. A shelter in a time of storm. He's a friend to the friendless. He bread when you're hungry. Water when you're thirsty. Y'all know him, don't you? He's the root of Jesse, the seed of Abraham, a stone hewed out of a mountain, a meek and humble lad. Y'all know him, don't you? He's the God of God, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords, the bright and morning star, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley. Y'all know him, don't you? He's a way out of no way. He's great. Won't it make a way? Won't it pick you up? Won't it turn you around? Won't it plant your feet on solid ground? Say it! Say it! Say it!
Hey! Yeah! Ain't it all right?
Ain't it all right? Ain't it all right? Ain't it all right? Has it done anything for you? Hadn't it been good? Hadn't it brought you out? Give him some honor. Give him some glory. Give him some praise.
Right at the morning.